we're just going to hook up the internet here, and I'll tell you when. There you go. Light's red.
All right. Very good. Welcome. Welcome to the commission meeting. It is Wednesday, May 18th, 2011. Commission's meeting in the North Dakota Public Service Commission hearing room in the state capitol in Bismarck. I am Skyping in. I think it's safe to say this is probably the first time that a commissioner has participated in a meeting from Russia. Although I think Susan was in Russia for one meeting, but it was probably prior to Skype, if I recall correctly, when one Commissioner Weefall was on. So I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting today, and would turn it over to my fellow commissioners who are both in Bismarck, Commissioner Kevin Kramer and Commissioner Brian Call. Kevin?
Good morning and welcome, everybody. As a kid growing up in the 60s and 70s in eastern North Dakota, I'm in mourning today as a Twins fan and I guess a faithful fan of Harmon Killebrew and saddened by his death, but we'll get through it. At least we won last night.
I just say thank you all for coming to the meeting, and travel safe, Tony, on your way home.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. believe me. We'll move to items in my portfolio. Item TC1.
We do have some consent, so I'll move passage of the consent agenda.
Second.
There's a few things on consent.
Very few, but a few.
All in favor?
Aye.
I'm moving to items in my portfolio. TC1, I move the commission deem the application complete and issue a notice of filing and notice of hearing in the application of Northern States Power Company requesting a certificate of corridor compatibility for a new Fargo to St. Cloud, Minnesota 345 kV electric transmission line in Cass and Richland counties of North Dakota, case number PU07759.
Second.
So this is just moving the application complete. We're going to be scheduling a hearing in this motion as well. The hearing is going to be set for June 23rd at 9 a.m. in the West Fargo City Hall, City Commission Room in West Fargo. Basically, what XL is proposing with this is the corridor portion of it, not the route. A final route hasn't been selected, but there's an attached map to the motion, and hopefully some are available for members of the audience and the media who may be there. Basically, XL, the way they're proposing to route the corridor, leaves itself some flexibility. Those of you who may have traveled down to the Twin Cities over the past month or so, I know we did as a family earlier, will probably know there's a good deal of construction between St. Cloud and Monticello. Fargo to Monticello line, that portion of it is already under construction. It's a reliability line that's proposed to begin or end, I guess, depending on which way you look at it, at the Bison substation, which is proposed to be northwest of Fargo, actually sort of north of Mapleton. The corridor gives XL, as I said, some flexibility. What'll propose to be sited is a corridor that comes in to North Dakota just south of Wahpeton, crosses directly west to I-29, then follows the I-29 corridor up to basically the Horace area, and then takes a turn to the west again for several miles, and then ends up straight north of Mapleton at the proposed Bison substation. Now, that corridor is not actually the preferred route. The route that XL has is looking at is, and the way it's been submitted in their application, basically has three routes. One is a preferred route in which the transmission line would come up through Minnesota and then cross into North Dakota at about Oxbow. So if you think about Barnesville, just north of there, taking a westerly turn, crossing into Oxbow, and then continuing along the corridor. They have a northern alternative route which would take it a little bit further north of that, by a few miles, so that it would enter not quite so close to Oxbow, but rather between Oxbow and Briarwood. The second alternative route is a southern route, and that would be the one that, if chosen, would most closely mirror the corridor that they're proposing, and that would bring the line up quite a bit further south. It would enter North Dakota south of Wahpeton, and then cross over and up I-29. So it's none of those have been decided yet, but we're going to be scheduling a hearing on it. and looks good to go.
All in favor?
Aye.
TC2, I move the commission issue a notice of hearing in Otter Tail Power Company's application for advanced determination of prudence for its participation in certain CapEx 2020 Group 1 projects, case number PU09676, and Northern States Power Company's application for advanced determination of prudence for its participation in certain CapEx 2020 Group 1 projects, case number PU09678.
Second.
By this motion, the commission will be scheduling a hearing, but we're going to fill in the dates and time on the administrative portion of the agenda. This is basically to hear about the Brookings line as part of the previously issued order that the commission gave on CapEx 2020 to Otter Tail and XL. We require that they submit additional information once the cost allocation methodology became known for the Brookings line. So we didn't give a full sign off on that Brookings line until we received that. They've now submitted it, and we'll be scheduling a hearing on that portion of the issue.
All in favor?
Aye.
TC3, I move the commission deem the application complete condition on filing of final turbine locations by June 30th, 2011, and issue a notice of filing and notice of hearing in case number PU-11-57, Elite Inc.'s application for a certificate of site compatibility to construct a proposed 105-megawatt Bison 2 wind project in Morton and Oliver Counties, North Dakota.
Second.
Basically, the proposed Bison 2 wind farm, which is not a surprise, we've known that Elite has been planning to build this wind farm in a number of stages. And this is just the next stage of it, would be located basically adjacent to the existing Bison 1 wind farm. We, of course, are requiring them to submit a final plan prior to the hearing, a week prior to the hearing, so that both the commission and the interested public have a better of an idea of exactly where the micro-siting of those towers will be. I don't know, did I mention the location of that? I don't think I did. It's we scheduled it for July 7th at 10 a.m. Central in the Oliver County Courthouse in Center. Basically, the wind farm itself will be located somewhat southwest of Center and northwest, or to the southwest of Center and then just northwest of New Salem.
All in favor?
Aye.
Item TC4, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE11-139, canceling warehouse license number 408, issued to Hettinger Co-op Equity Exchange at Hettinger, North Dakota, and ordering the business at Hettinger, North Dakota is discontinued effective immediately.
Second.
This facility has been sold to CHS, and our next motion will relicense it as such.
All in favor?
Aye.
TC5, commission issue an order in case number GE-11-138, granting the request of CHS, Inc., St. Paul, Minnesota, to operate a 688,000 bushel grain warehouse at Hettinger North.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And that ends the items in my portfolio. Commissioner Culp.
Good morning. Item BK1. I move the commission suspend Montana Dakota Utility Company's proposed margin sharing adjustment, case number PU1178.
Second.
Basically, what we're doing with this motion is we're just suspending this current request because it has become part of the ongoing rate case. So we have a MDU has figured out the cost, which they figured that would be required for the period of April 1st to March 31st of 2012. But as a part of the ongoing rate case, we also have a settlement agreement that includes this. So we figured it would be appropriate to suspend this at this time until we finalize the rate case and then see how this all shakes itself out.
All in favor?
Aye.
Item BK2. I move the commission publish notice of the 2011-2012 telecommunications relay service surcharge in the daily newspapers of general circulation in the state of North Dakota, case number PU11135.
Second.
In April of 1993, Governor Schaefer approved House Bill 1028, that established a program to provide specialized telecommunications services and equipment to the communication impaired. The relay service program is funded by an access line surcharge paid by the customers to local exchange companies and radio communication providers. The Public Service Commission, we publish this in all the papers when the amount is determined. We've calculated the amount for 2011 and 2012 is 4 cents per access line per month.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And that concludes the items in my portfolio.
Thank you, Commissioner Kramer.
Thank you. KC1. I move the Commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order issuing Certificate of Corridor Compatibility Number 119 and Route Permit Number 129 to Enbridge Pipelines, North Dakota LLC for construction of a crude oil pipeline and associated facilities located in Williams, Mount Trail, and Ward Counties of North Dakota, case number PU10613.
Second.
Well, depending on how you count them, this is phase three or phase two of Enbridge's ongoing expansion called the Bakken Pipeline. You'll recall that, I guess it was last year already, that we had a hearing and issued an order for upgrades to the Berthold Station that included some 80 acres of new land and some increased pumping facilities, piping, and truck terminals. That is operational at this point, other than some spring cleanup and some work on Highway 2. Last meeting, we issued an order approving the portal reversal and Line 26 upgrades and new pipe that would take Bakken crude from the Berthold Station north up through up into Canada and then across to Cromer, where it then will get on onto the Clearbrook line, taking crude to Clearbrook, Minnesota. The last or first piece of that is what we're approving today, I guess, is the what's known as the Beaver Lodge Loop. That's 56 miles of line from Beaver Lodge in North Dakota over to Berthold that would then hook up with that final piece. Most of this runs parallel to the existing Enbridge line. It's 56-mile corridor. About 43.7 miles of that will be co-located parallel to their existing Line 82 pipeline. All of this together provides an estimated 145,800 barrels per day of incremental capacity, and it increases that northern route capacity from 25,000 barrels to 145,800 barrels. I think interesting that that's equal to an average of about 729 trucks per day, each carrying 200 barrels of oil. There is a slight deviation from the hearing. After we had the hearing, and we held a combined hearing on this project as well as the Line 26 or the Portal Line project, at that hearing, there were some concerns raised by the chairman of the county commission in Mount Trail County, as well as a township officer from Idaho Township. Some concerns raised about widening of streets and things at Stanley, because part of this line will, of course, includes a pumping station near Stanley. As a result of that and some negotiations since that time, there are 3 miles of this line that will be moved slightly south of 61st Street Northwest between State Highway 8 and 82nd Avenue Northwest, that is, while it's inside the one-mile study area, it is outside the 250-foot more intense study area, for lack of a better term, where beyond the literature study there needs to be walking studies and stuff. So this particular order will have the caveat in it that that the company will have to apply for a route deviation in this area, which basically means once all of that 3 miles is studied more intensely, that it is confirmed that they comply with all of the siting laws and provisions and rules, and everybody's on board, then we'll be able to move forward with those last 3 miles as well. But this does allow the rest of the 56 miles to begin right away. No further hearing should be necessary unless there would be some problem raised by the township or the county or other stakeholders. However, the township, the county have both agreed on this plan. For those who keep track of dollar amounts, what all of this does, and just going back to the Berthold station upgrades were about $9 million of investment. The Berthold to Lignite up through the portal and on is a $73 million upgrade, and then this portion is about $132.6 million. So the entire three phases, if you will, of the project are come to nearly $215 million.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
KC2. I move the Commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and order issuing certificate of site compatibility for energy conversion facility number 22 and the request of Bearpaw Energy LLC for the construction and operation of two 100 million standard cubic feet per day gas processing plants in Williams County, North Dakota, case number PU10666.
Second.
Had I caught that case number earlier, I might have had it changed, but it is 10666. This has been a pretty fluid project as well, but it's also been quite fast. The original letter of intent on this project called for the siting of one 100 million cubic feet per day gas processing facility with the possibility that a second would be added to it. A short time after that, we received an amended letter of intent and an application for not one, but both 100 million cubic feet per day gas processing facilities. The application was deemed complete on March 24th. We held a hearing in Williston on April 25th. As I said, both plants will consist of 100 million cubic feet per day gas processing facility. The cost of the two, and there were some efficiencies, as I noticed by doing the math, that the two facilities together come to an estimated total of I think it was $273 million, which I'm having a hard time finding right now, but $273 million in expected investment. Bearpaw has been quite aggressive in the area of gas processing. They own some 4,000 miles of gathering lines already in North Dakota and, of course, others in Montana, Wyoming. You'll recall that we cited, seems like last week, but I suppose it was a few months ago, the Garden Creek processing facility near Watford City, which is also 100 million cubic feet per day, a gas processing facility. I was looking up the numbers today in terms of what's being produced and what's being flared. And as you know, production of gas is greatly outpaced the facilities to both move it and or process it. So according to the most recent director's cut from from Lynn Helms' office, we're flaring over 27% of the gas right now. In March, we produced about 360 million cubic feet per day. 360,000 MCF per day, I should say. I did some quick math and trying to put some tangible imagery around what that means. For heating a North Dakota home, the liberal number is about 100, if I might use that term, is about 100 MCF per year. It's a little lower in the NSP areas than it is in the MDU areas, but 100 is the high end for a year. If we're flaring 27% of 360,000 MCF, we're flaring enough gas, if my calculations are right, to heat 1,000 North Dakota homes for a year, every day. So, everybody's doing their best to build this infrastructure out and to capture this precious commodity. While it's in great supply right now, it is nonetheless a finite and precious commodities. So we're glad to move these along. One of the more interesting things, Tony and Brian will remember, about this particular hearing was, you know, we put great care into tree mitigation plans, and on this particular parcel of land, there was not a single tree to be mitigated. So good choice of area. Yeah.
The only thing I would add is, on this case is that, The only thing I would add in this case is that one of the questions that I asked during the hearing is why do we do two 100 million cubic feet per day? Why not just do one plant 200? Because it seemed like there'd be some economy of scale. But it basically turned down that by doing two of them, there's more efficiency in maintenance. If there's problems with one, they can keep the other one going. But essentially, the permits, like their air permit, is still considered one permit because they're so close together. And this order, as the previous one, also includes our new language on the call before you dig.
I was only going to add that it really is one of the easier siting applications we've had, because there was a lack of things that are in the Siting Act that we would have had to mitigate. And it goes beyond even a single tree. Cultural resources, wildlife impacts, endangered species. It was they picked maybe the easiest parcel of land to site on in North Dakota.
Yeah, other than some township road issues and local concerns that were addressed very well, both prior to and on the site, which was obviously was appropriate. Brian's point about the question he asked was a good question, and I thought their answer was a good answer. You know, the redundancy that's created in two 100 million cubic feet per day facilities rather than one 200 does provide both efficiency and then, of course, the added value of maintenance schedules and things like that. So,
yeah. The probing question that I asked was if there was, sometimes you can site things smaller to get different benefits. Things get permitted easier and so on like that. But that was not the case at all. It's still created. You still looked at it as one big operation. So,
I think that the company deserves some credit as well for doing it this way, because they were well within their rights to simply file for the one. On the footprint, and then given our laws, they could have come back with the second one and simply certified that they weren't going to encroach on any avoidance or exclusion areas, and instead they cited both plants. So I think that's kudos to the company as well for their care.
Kevin's point about some of the road issues I thought was a good one, in that this was a hearing where you could really tell the importance of having these siting hearings in the county that's affected, because you did have local township officers show up and who were able to express some concerns and were able to get some answers that they hadn't previously gotten, and it facilitated the sharing of information that was helpful.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
KC3. I move the commission award a contract to GeoServe, Inc. of Bismarck, North Dakota, in the amount of $42,750 for material testing and other services for the Beulah Zap Phase 12 Abandoned Mine Lands Reclamation Project.
Second.
Now, KC3 and 4 are related, because this is for the materials testing, and the next one will be for the actual construction work itself. And it requires a little bit of explanation, because there was a slight deviation from the bid. But on March 3rd, AML issued an invitation for the bids for material testing and the other services associated with the 2011 Beulah Zap Phase 12. So you know how many phases we've been through on this AML project. And involves, of course, drilling and injection of pressurized grout into the abandoned underground mine workings. This is mainly along a road north of Beulah. Now, this particular contract is, as I said earlier, is for the collection and lab testing of the grout samples. There was a competitive sealed bidding procedure that was used. The public bid opening occurred on April 14th, and there was only one responsive bid that was received, and it, of course, came from GeoServe, Inc. of Bismarck. The amount of the bid was $44,550, and you'll notice that's a little bit different than what we're approving today. The staff estimate for this part of the project was $40,750. So it was a little bit high from the estimate, but it was, according to staff analysis, they thought that it was a fair and reasonable bid. But based on the amount of construction funds that we have available for doing this year's projects, and then the overall higher than expected bids, and that's not just on this project, but on all of the projects, for this year's major construction projects, the amount of grout to be injected into the mine workings was reduced by 1,000 cubic yards, from 10,000 to 9,000. And so this reduction also reduced, of course, the amount of testing that would be needed for the project. So GeoServe has agreed to an $1,800 reduction in the contract amount, which is based on their bid price of $90 per grout sample, and then the elimination of 20 lab tests. So that's why we ended up with a notice of intent, and then now the award of a contract in the amount of $42,750.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And likewise, KC4, I move the commission award a contract to BNC Concrete Pumping, Inc. of Williston, North Dakota, in the amount of $1,104,850 for drilling and pressurized grouting at the Beulah Zap Phase 12 Abandoned Mine Lands Reclamation Project.
Second.
As obviously, it's the same project. The bid invitation was offered on the same day. The public bid opening occurred on April 14th, and BNC Concrete Pumping was the only responsive bid that we received. And, of course, that was for the 10,000 cubic feet. The bid was in the amount of $1,204,850. Our staff estimate for the project was $1,020,850. So, again, it was slightly higher. It was deemed to be fair and reasonable by the staff. However, after lowering it by 10%, I guess, the amount of cubic yards from 10,000 cubic yards to 9,000 cubic yards, BNC agreed to a $100,000 reduction in the contract amount. And that's what brings us to the $1,104,850.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 In KC5, I move the commission conditionally approve revision number 30 to surface coal mining permit number BNCR9702 held by BNI Coal LTD for the center mine to add 676.48 acres to the permit and to update the appropriate sections of the permit to reflect mining in the additional acreage, and further move to approve the stipulation to increase the amount and acreage of collateral bond CB9702-2.
Second.
And all this is it's allowing this revision simply adds 676.48 acres to the already permitted area for the center mine. The added acreage contains 120 acres of coal that's owned by the federal government and then managed by the Bureau of Land Management within, of course, the Department of the Interior. Some of the conditions, of course, include complying with all of those federal agencies and the Office of Surface Mining and with their mining plan and all of those things. So that shouldn't be all that complicated. But these days, you never know.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 That ends items in my portfolio.
Okay, very good. Just a couple of housekeeping announcements before we open up for questions. We do have a few meetings coming up prior to our next meeting is 3 weeks away this time. So our next commission meeting will be June 8th, on Wednesday at 10 a.m. A couple that I'll just draw to your attention: on the 25th, we have a work session on MDU's rate case. The commission has heard a hearing on a settlement that's been proposed to the commission. That'll be our first opportunity to discuss the settlement. Then on the 31st, a work session that might be of some interest to folks in Xcel's electricity territory at 10 a.m. in the commission room. We're going to be holding a work session on Xcel service issues. There's been a number of outages, as folks know, recently. And then the other two that I would just draw to your attention are on we have public input sessions coming up next week on the 23rd and 24th. The 23rd is at noon, and they're at Ivan sites around the state, and those are all listed in the agenda. And then the 24th is at 7 p.m. again at different locations throughout the state that you can pick up in the agenda.
Tony,
and
if
before
I,
we get to I just want to make sure that I authorize Charlene to sign the orders.
Thank you.
On my behalf.
Just a slight correction to what Commissioner Clark had. It's Monday the 23rd is at 7 p.m. and the 24th is at noon. So it's the evening, Monday evening, and then Tuesday noon.
Okay, well, I wrote that down that way. Maybe we should double check this. I wrote that down that way in looking at the agenda, and then as I was scanning my calendar on BlackBerry, it shows it the opposite. So that's why I was starting to question myself. I don't know what other people's Outlook calendars look like, but no, I don't see anything. Yeah, it's odd.
The 24th is at 7 p.m.
pretty sure we skipped. Well, the intent was to schedule Monday night and then Tuesday noon.
It is correct. Bad fingers on my calendar. Okay. Any questions?
About Elite, I just wanted to clarify something. The Bisonton uh-huh. project. On the map, I just wanted to make sure I knew which is the existing project and which is the expansion. Is the existing project on the left or the right?
It's a little hard to read. I was noticing that as well when I was looking at it. I believe, and I don't know if Jerry's in the room, this is probably subject to check. I believe that the
existing
project is to the west.
No, according to Jerry, it's to the east.
It's to the east, okay. Yeah, the key doesn't exactly match the...
And actually, they do overlap somewhat.
But this is the existing project here.
Yeah, the one with the dots on it are existing turbines.
Okay.
And how many, could you refresh my memory, please, how many turbines and generation capacity is involved in Bison 1?
I think it was in the neighborhood of 50 or 70, but I...
It ended up being around 80, I think 78, if I remember right, Jerry. Does that sound right? It increased slightly because when the second phase of Bison 1 went to the 3-megawatt turbines, it increased slightly with a smaller number of turbines.
Yeah, if I remember right, the capacity went up a little bit to like 78 megawatts, but the number of turbines is more like in the neighborhood of like 30-something, 35 or something like that.
One of the interesting things...
I can check.
Actually, I'm opening the spreadsheet right now. It looks like... Elite Bison 1, this one must not be updated, right?
There were two phases in Bison 1.
Right, it had it at 125 total at this point, but this is, I think, a little bit... Oh, I'm sorry, the original Bison 1 was 33 towers at 75.9 megawatts.
That's the original Bison 1, right?
Bison 1.
And is that, was Bison 1 subsequently enlarged? That's what I can't remember.
I believe that's it. I mean, at least as of Jerry's sheet, which is latest, while it was under construction, it had 75.9. But
yeah, they changed turbines in halfway through. They did phase 1 with the smaller turbines, and then they put a little bit bigger turbines, the ones without the gearbox, to make them 3 megawatts apiece, and so that increased the project size a little bit. Above 75 was what they were originally talking about for megawatts.
I think the new capacity is slightly more than the 75.
The new Bison 2 one will be 35 turbines for 105 megawatts more, in addition to what they did under Bison 1.
I noticed that the Minnesota PUC. Pretty impressed with the Oliver project, or the Bison projects, encouraged Minnesota Power to maybe double their stroke on the on this next phase, in hopes of getting maybe another 105 megawatts done before the end of next year, which would of course bring them to the end of the current production tax credit schedule. So we'll see. I would expect that Minnesota Power will be coming back at us fairly quickly with that kind of encouragement from their utility regulators.
It's on the Fargo to St. Cloud transmission line case. Mm-hmm. Is the hearing to deal with just the southern route that you mentioned, or is it to deal with all three?
No, the hearing is for a certificate of corridor compatibility for the entire... all of those options. So it's
okay. All three options.
It'll be the largest geographic area that would be possible under any scenario, but it doesn't mean that exact southern longest route will be the one that is picked. It just gives them the most options.
In fact, I believe that's probably the least preferred of the three by the company.
I just I just want to make sure when you're having this hearing, you're going to be talking about the corridor for all three options and not just the one.
Yes, correct.
That is correct.
Okay. The Beaver Lodge and Bear Paw orders, are those on the website? I don't have them. Never mind. Thanks, Pat. What is the telecommunications tax presently? Is it 5 cents?
Is that right? Pat says 5 cents, and I would agree with him.
Okay, and it's going down to 4 cents, right?
4 cents, correct, for 2011.
That's as of when, do we know?
Usually July 1st.
Before June 1st, yeah, July 1st.
Yeah, we have to set it before June 1st, and then it becomes effective July 1st.
Okay. Could we have an explanation as to why it's going down?
Boy, that's a good question. Pat, can you help me out on that one?
We have the projected cost for the project for each year that comes, so we would have to compare. I haven't done that.
That's okay.
As I recall, it had to do a little bit with timing of how they're paying out the contract as well. I don't have it in front of me now, but ITD offered an explanation letter, and their costs have gone down at the same time that we continue to add new numbers and new lines.
Have fun in communist land. Sorry.
Former communist land.
Yes. Now it's just, yeah. Thug capitalism.
Well, yeah, right. Well, yeah, thug capitalism. All right.
Thank you very much. All right, we will close this portion of the hearing, and if it's all right with you folks, can we move right into admin and then just do signing later?
Absolutely.